Good morning and welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach coming to you live from Butternut, Wisconsin. We are at the Fanatical Fish Gallery here in downtown Butternut. If you are in the area, we are here until 11 o'clock this morning. Stop on by. We brought Kringle. We have coffee and much, much more. And so much to see here at the Fanatical Fish Gallery. Are the owner of this place, when... good heavens.
Kelly
sitting
Meredith.
Right next to me, Kelly Meredith. Good morning. How are you? Thank you so much for hosting us. We really appreciate
thanks.
It.
You guys have been fabulous. Like, nice to meet all of you. You're all very interesting.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yeah.
We fake it well.
You fake it well. Okay. Well, good job. Way to do it.
How long have you had this place here in Butternut?
I've had this since 2014. I moved in here in October of 2014. It used to be a heating and plumbing store.
Okay.
And so it was just really cool. Is it
one of the older buildings here in Butternut?
Not exactly. My house is actually one of the older. My house is an old saloon. So, yeah. Woo.
Fantastic.
Probably from the early 1900s. But this is one of the older ones. And I only live three doors down. So when this came open, I was like, hey, let's go.
It's meant to be.
Yes, it was.
Are you a native of this area?
I am not. I wish I was. I have family connections. I had an aunt and uncle who lived here in Butternut that people still remember. Otto and Gladys Schakel. People who are old will remember them. But I was not lucky enough to grow up here. I grew up in Milwaukee.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. So when you said Milwaukee, I was like, yeah. and then later on, my dad moved us up to Sturgeon Bay. That's where I graduated high school.
Okay.
And then I went to Madison and lived in Madison. I'm a Badger. Yay, UW-Madison. Go Badgers.
You're in good company, Todd.
Oh, Badgers.
Badger too. Yeah,
And then I met my husband there, and we always talked about, gosh, we'd really like to move north. And we were both teachers, and so we made a deal, whoever gets a job first wins. And so my husband got hired in 1991 to be the English teacher here. And so we moved up, and then I taught art in Phillips. So
that's great.
And so that's our quick little story, how we got here. But we love it here. We just love it here. I can't say enough lovely things about
And what would you, if you're trying to explain it to people, how would you explain it to them, Kelly? What makes this so unique and fabulous?
Okay, I have said this in other interviews. Butternut is a kind of place where if you get sick, the entire community will get together. They will throw a fundraiser. They'll take care of your pets. You better show up with a wad of cash and a dish to pass. And you don't ask any stupid questions like, how did you get here? Why are you ill? No, we just jump in. We're a family. We just jump in and we help each other. We just help each other. We're there for each other. And it's incredibly safe. I mean, it's really... keep your doors unlocked and everything, you'd be fine.
Although everyone locks their doors in Butternut, just so you know, if you're thinking about doing something nefarious, don't even try it.
Don't even do that.
All right, Jane, my goodness.
Just saying.
So it's a very, I find it to be a very welcoming, accepting community, and runs against the stereotype of
it does
because small people think, oh, small towns, everybody's narrow-minded, blah 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 blah, they wear white hoods. No, it's not the case. Small towns are much more progressive than I think people give them credit for. And I always like the fact that in a small town, you get more, hard to explain, but like more authenticity. Across the street is the Butternut Feed Store, which is like the coolest place in the whole wide world. If you're in Butternut, please go now, right now. it's lovely. I always send people over there. When you have only one, like say one grocery store or one gas station or 1111.
Right.
It allows you to be free and be yourself, as opposed to, like, say, urban, I use Madison because I love Madison, but say the suburb, there's always an Olive Garden. There's always, Cracker Barrel and whatever. You've got that homogenized sort of culture. When you think about cultures in other, like, say, Europe, when you think about, well, what is that culture really like? What you're actually thinking about is the rural culture. Urban cultures become pretty monolithic, but very much
the same.
So
yeah.
I love the fact that it's very cozy, it's very unique, and that people are just really loving and very accepting.
Well, you said what you said about people have this assumption that everyone is closed-minded in small towns.
Yes.
And that's kind of the whole motivation behind us traveling around the state.
Yes, and thank you.
Because we have so much more in common.
Right.
Yeah.
And I was listening to Todd talking, or I was catching bits and pieces of your radio show earlier about how, you had said they don't care if you wear a blue hat or a red hat. You know, there are limits.
There are divisions. There are divisions, right?
We don't really like, if you're super far left, be careful if you're super far right, maybe. But everything in between, like, hey, we're just here to, like, be with each other and accept each other and listen and learn and grow.
And we all want the same things.
Well, our interests are all identical. We want
a nice place to live, decent job, schools for our kids, to be able to have some place to go if you get sick.
Right, exactly.
You know, I just think, again, with politics in particular, it is so easy to say, well, this is a division, and this is a division, and this is a division. When, and Todd has said this repeatedly too, we have so many more things that bring us together.
Oh my gosh.
That we need to highlight and focus.
Oh, yes, yes.
I think it's also a product of the 24-hour news cycle, where they, in order to manufacture outrage and anger, they have to enforce these divides, where when you talk to the people on the ground, the voters, the ones who are affected by the big decisions, they affect everyone. And like you said, there are people who are super far left, there are people who are super far right, and, you know, live your life, do your thing. But in the middle, some people are saying, like, I just need my school to be better for my kids.
Exactly.
I need there to be access to a hospital further and closer than an hour and a half away. So
I need clean water.
Yes.
Just basics.
Really, very
You're just so demanding, Kelly. Oh, my goodness.
I mean, they're all things that people could get on board together with. Yeah. And I think when we start to deliberately create divides, we just whip each other into a frenzy and nobody's listening.
But you make a great point in that, unfortunately, with the media landscape the way that it is, outrage sells and division sells. Mm-hmm. And that's what gets clicks justifies that approach.
Yeah, absolutely. It makes money, but that's not what we're here to talk about, honestly.
Sorry.
That is what we're here to talk about. The I don't want to talk about the rage factories.
Right.
This is what we're here to talk about. We're here to talk to the people, and that's why, as you said, we get on the road, we go out and meet people and have conversations, because that's the only way. My whole life as a city boy, whether it's suburban or urban, I'm a city boy. And when I get to places like this, it's about understanding the needs of other people, as far as like small business owners, people who have farmland, people who are, you know, just doing their lives differently than I know. So I understand from my own perspective, because I can say what I believe, but I also want to factor in other people's wishes and desires in that, so I can be more open-minded. So that's the point of coming here, is understanding those things.
And isn't that the whole point of travel?
Well, yes. And once you meet people, it's a lot harder to stereotype them.
Yes.
It's a lot harder to put them in a box.
Absolutely.
Everything becomes much more nuanced and real and, like I said, authentic. God bless you for
just delighted to be here. If you are just joining us, we are broadcasting live. It's day two from Matt Nair on Air and the Todd Alba Show out on the road. Mm-hmm. We love Wisconsin. We're at the Fanatical Fish Gallery along with the owner, Kelly Meredith, right here in downtown Butternut. If you are in the area, please stop by. We would love to meet you and say hello.
I would like you to stop by.
Absolutely. You have some beautiful things here we'll get to in a minute. But if you are watching in the stream, you can see this incredible piece behind us. I want you to talk a little bit about what you're doing with these kinds of pieces.
Okay, so this piece, I'm almost done. I'm waiting for the client to approve it. So that'll take a couple days. this is for Port Washington, but this is typical of the kind of work I do. The initial thing was to apparently, they had one of the first talkie movies
in Port Washington.
Yeah, exactly. Oddly enough, in 1928, and at the poster there, the alias Jimmy Valentine. I'm not a movie person. I don't know what that is. I don't need to know what that is. They want, and then this is going on the east and south wall of this actual theater. It's not a theater anymore. It's called Java Dock Coffee. It's a funky coffee shop. But anyway, so they want to honor their history. This little anecdotal history. A lot of the way these projects get funded, though, is, as you see, all the people are actually sponsored. So each person's a loved one paid for them to be
part of this.
Now, this is a little trickier because obviously they need to feature the 1920s. So I have to morph these people to fit. So like your glasses, which would be the classic.
Right.
You know, there's a style of glasses, you know, so that can change. Hairstyles are a biggie, especially women's hairstyles.
I bet.
Now, in fact, I'm getting a little blowback on one of them because she has in real life, she has beautiful 1950s gorgeous long locks. And, of course, that wasn't the typical hairstyle in the 1920s, and so we're kind of working on that. So sometimes, like, having people stand in for another person, yeah, is a little trickier. A lot of my other work, like here in Butternut, and I do a lot of veterans' murals, lots of veterans' murals. In fact, that's my next project. I'm waiting. Then it's actually your specific identity.
Right.
Then it really is you. But anyway, so yeah.
How many? I'm sorry.
Well, and you also said when we came in earlier that not only are you doing these murals, and we've seen these all over town, but also there are handwritten notes about all of these individuals that the families, because they have to be nominated, correct?
Right. Yes.
And
yeah.
Then they write a handwritten note describing the person and who they were in the community.
Actually, I asked for a handwritten narrative.
Oh, so gotcha. Okay.
That's okay. So, tell me their life story in your own handwriting. Because actually what I do is I literally take the handwriting and project it.
That's amazing. Yeah.
Trace it.
Yeah, of course.
So it's like that person's handwriting. Because we all have a story to tell. Mm-hmm. I mean, and our lives tell such an interesting story. And it's interesting, okay, let's say a person, normal life cycle of a human, they get married, they have children, they have grandchildren, maybe they have great-grandchildren. All those people who are interacting with that life have a different story,
yes,
to tell. So the,
yeah,
story you tell is as much about you as the person's individual life. So here in Butternut, we do this. We honor people and hopefully collecting, because I am the president of our Butternut Historical Society. By the way, we have a lovely museum.
Oh, wow.
And actually, Maxine will be on in the afternoon.
Okay.
Our historian and curator. This is, when you think about local history, what is local history? Your local history is basically a collection of all the anecdotal histories of all the people who came, mm-hmm, and went.
Sure.
And in those stories are also embedded the context, like the industries that were prominent at the time, the politics that was prominent at the time, cultural constraints and liberties at the time. And so we start telling all those stories and putting them together. You get kind of this beautiful mosaic sort of collection,
yeah,
of your town's history. And so I'm honored to get to do
how
that.
Many of these have you done for towns around the country?
Okay, I've done a total of 161 murals. This,
oh,
is,
my,
wow,
gosh.
This is mural 161. I keep track. I don't keep quite track of how many people I've painted, but I think it's about 1,800.
That's fantastic.
And
how do people find you?
By accident, because I actually made a deliberate choice a long time ago not to advertise and to have people have to go find me. One of the things I find with being with artists is that everybody's clamoring for attention. Oh, look at me. I'm special. I'm special. I'm special. And that felt like soul rotting to me. Like, please,
so Wisconsin.
Look at how, yes, wonderful I am. And I'm like, no, I don't want to play that game. So I'm out there. People find me by other work.
And it's word of mouth.
It's word of mouth. It's piece by piece by piece by piece.
And from conception to putting this up here to the very end where you say, I'm done. How long do one of these take you on average?
Okay, this one yesterday was day 22 on this. So 22 days from start to finish to get this.
That's
going.
Amazing. Oh, we're going to continue talking with Kelly Meredith. She's the owner of the Fanatical Fish Gallery here in downtown Butternut. We are broadcasting live Matt Nair on Air and the Todd Alba Show on the road. Stay with us. We'll be right back on the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach coming to you live from Butternut, Wisconsin. We are at the Fanatical Fish and Art Gallery here in downtown Butternut. If you are in the area, we would love to have you stop by. Not only is there, she has such beautiful things here, and we're going to talk about that more in a little bit, but we have Kringle, we have coffee. We would love to meet you if you are in the neighborhood. So we are here until 11 o'clock. Todd Alba will be broadcasting his show here from 2 to for today. So come on out and join us. It is a beautifully perfect day.
It is. It's
here
lovely.
In Butternut, Wisconsin. Again, at the Fanatical Fish Art Gallery and Studio. Kelly Meredith, the owner, is here with us. And you were talking about these murals that you do behind us. Talk a little bit about the artist community, because we're really far north.
Yeah, we are.
You know, we are. Yeah. But you have brochures from there's art gallery tours and all kinds of things going on up here.
There's more stuff than you realize. To the east of me is a art tour that's runs basically from Lac de Flambeau all the way down to Tomahawk.
And wow.
It's huge. I think it's like maybe 27 people. And I wish I could recite the website you can go to, but I'll try to do that later. So point being, it's where all the artist studios are open on this one particular day, and it's there's actually two art tours. The one in the summer is, I think, the 26th, and then the other one is sometime in October. Anyway, so you can go to these various
galleries
and just go meet them, and a lot of them will have demonstrations and explain the work and blah, 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 blah. So that's to the east of us. Just south of here is Phillips and the Concrete Park. And again, if you're looking for an amazing place to go, please go to the Concrete Park. It's the coolest place in the world.
What is this?
Oh, my God. You don't know the Concrete Park? The Fred Smith Concrete Park? Okay, you are going to have to do this someday. Just south of here in Phillips is a place. It's a Wisconsin Concrete Park. It's literally all these concrete sculptures made by a man by name Fred Smith, who was an untrained artist. He did it. He was a farmer. He just did it because he liked to do it. And they're cobblestoney. They've got like broken glass in them. They're kind of mosaic-y. There's probably hundreds of sculptures.
Wow.
And they're very folky, but really super cool. I mean, it's a place I want my ashes scattered when I die because it's that cool. I mean,
really?
It's the coolest place. But anyway, point being, they have a gallery. There's a house, the Fred Smith House, and there's a gallery there.
I was going to mention, so I believe it's called the Northwoods Art Tour that you were talking about.
Yes,
and
I
have the website here.
Okay. Oh, please.
Northwoods Arts, northwoodsarttour.com. All of this information will be in our show notes today. So when you go to the website, civicmedia.us, click on shows, find our show, and if you're interested about it, I'll put that.
Thank you.
Your place will be in there. Unless you don't want me to.
No, please.
Okay, there you go. All right.
I'm not hiding that much.
Okay.
I'm hiding that.
But I'll put the Northwoods Art Tour, and I'm looking at the Fred Smith Concrete garden. It's amazing.
That's fantastic.
It is amazing, and they have. It's called Countryside Artists, and it's in that gallery is inside the house that's right on the park. So, and the arts tour. There's two artists in that tour. Lisa Krieger and Francis Whitfield, who are on that tour, who teach classes here at my place. And so a little shout out to both of them, because they're lovely people. And then you go north of here is Bayfield, and Bayfield's really a very, very strong artist community.
Yeah.
Lots of art. In fact, I have one of my artists here took a lot of her work out and put it in Bayfield because it's doing better. Butternut, unfortunately, is not a high tourist community.
Right.
And I understood that going into this. So in my gallery, I have very local people and people that I've been showing for like 10 years, and I'm getting to watch them grow. Like, I'll put a shout out to Mary Zimmerman. She's a watercolor artist in Park Falls. She was one of the first people I started showing in 2015 when I opened. I've gotten to watch Mary grow and develop her style, and she takes classes and she keeps experimenting. And so that's really exciting to see that.
Well, as a teacher, that must
be everything for you, right? I've always said I feel just as happy when I sell someone else's work as I do with my own. It's like, yay, you had an opportunity. You know, and having sold my own work, it never gets old selling your own work. It's like, oh, somebody
liked that.
I think somebody likes me.
Well, and I think too, it, just in talking to you, when we were talking a little bit earlier just about stereotypes that people have.
Yes.
And I think us urban dwellers can be a bit snobbish and think we are the center of the world and we are the only place where art happens. And there's, you know, it's a vast wasteland.
Yes.
That's not true. There's art and artists everywhere.
I can't believe how many times people from the city have come in here and gone, wow, this is actually good. like, it is this major, earth-shattering revelation.
Well, and that's something that's actually, I would say, about all of Wisconsin, because even in a place like Milwaukee, you know, the biggest city in the state, people from Chicago, I work with people from all over the world, but specifically like L.A., New York, Chicago, they come to Wisconsin for the first time, and I would say if they're open-minded and willing to go out in the world and explore it, they're going to come back and say, I had no idea that you guys had. It's like, yeah, I understand we very much project and don't push back on the whole yokel, farmer, blah, blah, blah.
Cheesehead.
But
right,
they don't understand that this state has great art, great beauty, wonderful business. And what's great about Wisconsin is incredibly affordable compared to a lot of other cities out there. So, yeah, it doesn't surprise me that people come in and are astounded by the art, because they don't expect that from small towns,
but
also from a state like Wisconsin, which I say, come to Wisconsin and be amazed, because that's what we do here.
Right, right, exactly. I totally agree. Totally agree.
Come to Wisconsin and be amazed.
There you go.
Who can we sell that to?
Yeah, there.
Get that on a shirt.
Exactly, yeah.
Governor Evers, you can have it.
Exactly.
No, you can't.
For as long as it lasts. Yes, Kelly Meredith is our guest. We are broadcasting live from the Fanatical Fish Gallery and a studio here in downtown Butternut. Coming up next hour, in hour number two, Brittany Merlot will be here, civic media meteorologist with a little weather and wine. Audio sorbet after 10:30. We want your Ollie and Lena jokes. Greg has never heard any Ollie and Lena jokes.
Whoa.
We're going to continue our conversation with Kelly Meredith on the other side. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air on the vast, statewide, countrywide, pick us up globally on the app, the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, coming to you live from Butternut, Wisconsin.
Yeah.
We got Calvin back at Radio Park in Racine running the board. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Day two of our Come to Wisconsin, Be Amazed tour.
Yeah.
We've just renamed it.
Come to Wisconsin, Be Amazed.
Be Amazed. Greg came up with that right before we went to the news. I think it's fantastic. Yes, and we are at the Fanatical Fish Art Gallery and Studio here in downtown Butternut. And the owner, Kelly Meredith, is our guest. Thank you so much for having us here.
Thank
we
you
really
for being
appreciate
here. This
it.
It's been fabulous.
If you are in the area, please stop by and say hello. Todd is going to be broadcasting also his show from 2 to 4 later on this afternoon. So we're going to be exploring Butternut for a couple of hours in between. But we wanted to talk about some of the art that you feature here at your gallery, Kelly. Who'd you like to start with?
I'll start with me.
Start with you.
Yeah.
It's all about me.
Greg's going to be our art display.
He's going to be Mr. Auctioneer guy.
Here we go. All right.
Hold the piece up.
All right. There we go. Thank you very much.
And take a fabulous look at this. Oh, that's gorgeous.
And actually, this has just been sold. It's been sold to Marshall.
Oh, well, then never mind.
Oh, no. I'm holding it until they come pick it up. That's going to Marshfield Clinic. Yay.
Oh, nice.
And actually, like all my work, it's actually places around here. So this is the Brunswiler River. It's about 45 minutes from here. I worked from a photograph my dad liked to photograph. And so it's a photograph my dad took. And, you know, I love this area. It's not super glamorous, like the Rockies, you know, that's stunning. It's got a more subtle beauty, which I'd really appreciate. I do a lot of creeks and marshes and swamps. I find them very beautiful. I love dead trees. There's nothing more beautiful than a dead tree. So anyway, all my work basically features local. My most common one is a place called Rapid Creek, which is about 10 minutes from here.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like Monet's Lilies of Giverny.
Wonderful.
How he did the same scene 3,000 times, but different lighting. So for me, it's Rapid Creek. I have tons and tons and tons and tons and tons of paintings of Rapid Creek.
I am curious, always with artists and their own work, when you started out early on, you must have had some things and you looked at it and this is just terrible.
Yes.
But
I mean, like yesterday. No. If you're,
but I think that's reassuring though for people are like, God, I'd really like to paint, and I did this once in fifth grade, and it was awful, and I've never done it again.
Right. I have always insisted, because I was an art teacher, I've insisted that art is a learnable, teachable skill.
It is.
Because I wasn't really that good at art, but I really loved it. I developed a love of art because my mom would not make me go outside and play with the neighbor kids if I was quietly doing something. So back when I grew up, I think you and I are
That's amazing. Oh, I should have done that.
Exactly. That's how you get out of playing with the neighbor kids.
Don't make me go outside. Don't make me go outside.
I don't know if any... You're about the same age. Pack of Fun books. Do you remember Pack of Fun? Okay. Pack of Fun books were like these cheap, cheesy like art books, like how to make a macaroni mosaic.
Oh, macaroni mosaics.
You got to love that, or string art. So that's how I, you know, got started as a kid. And I wasn't very good at art, but I...
You stuck with it, though.
Stuck with it. I really loved it. So, yeah.
I think one of the things, too, to encourage the people, and this is something that I struggle with, that there are a lot of things that I would love to try.
Sure.
But because I know I won't be good at them immediately, it's sort of, there's almost a... Why bother then? Because there are tons of people out there who are good at it. What am I going to do to add to it? And that really is about getting rid of that mentality and saying, don't worry about other people. Don't worry about being, as you were saying, trying to be famous or online. Just do one thing. Try doing one painting. And if you can do it, great. And then try again. Right. And again.
Because you're doing art for yourself, aren't you?
Yes. And in fact, I have Saturday classes in here starting every Saturday, starting from Memorial Day weekend all the way through the end of September. And it's geared for what I call the curious beginner. It's someone who's bought all the supplies and now goes, huh, what do I do with these?
Yeah.
Which happens. And it's people who, it's almost always women. I don't know why men don't show up, but women do.
I have theories.
Exactly. I don't know. I hope that they're welcome. You know, they understand. Anyway, it's people who just want to try and experiment, and you form this little community of other people who want to try and experiment, and it's just very joyful.
And supporting each other as well.
Because even like, okay, that's art. I think about like singing. Like, why do you feel like you can't sing?
Because
like,
somebody told them once they couldn't.
Exactly.
There are people out there who will say to you, oh, you're not good at that, or maybe you should try something else. And people will then, instead of, it's weird, we will take that kind of criticism to heart and say, well, someone told me once.
Right.
But never say, well, maybe they're wrong, or maybe I can try this or that. Yeah, it's a really weird, especially when it comes to art.
Yes.
When it comes to art, I mean, like you said, it's teachable. Singing's teachable. Playing an instrument is teachable. You just have to put, especially as an adult, you have to put aside time to give it to you. And when you do that, you're giving it to yourself. You are taking time for yourself. It can be, I won't say it's a replacement for therapy, but it's a good way of letting go and expressing yourself.
Right. 100%. You know, and just do it for the joy.
I mean, yes.
And actually, just about everything works. You know, like, obviously, I went to art school. Well, I didn't really go to art school. I got my teaching degree. It's not really art school. But you kind of learn that, you know, you open up your eyes and your brain to what art can be instead of narrowing it down to X and Y. So just, again, because I was an art teacher, I really loved the drawings that my kindergartners did. To me, that was pieces of art because they speak and they are expressive.
And it's honest.
I would look at someone and go, wow, that's a great abstraction for a cat. I would like to use that. You know, like I've often said, I hope the kindergartners got as much out of being with me as I got out of being with them.
That's so fantastic. That's
wonderful.
If you are just joining us, we are live on the road from the Fanatical Fish Gallery Art Studio here in downtown Butternut. Kelly Meredith, the owner, is with us right now. We are on the road with the Todd Albus Show, our Wisconsin Come Be Amazed tour. Our new name.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Yes, and we would love to have you join us at 855-752-4842. As always, leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Let's switch art, if you would, Vanna White.
Yeah. Okay. I just want to make sure I have enough cord.
And we'll feature another photo from Kelly's gallery here.
Okay, this is another artist. Her name is Terry Morgan. And how I met Terry, this is an odd story. Terry actually had a prior to the pandemic, she had an adult day center for adults who, you know,
yes.
have cognitive disabilities and or were suffering from dementia or whatever. I kind of tumbled into her because my dad, unfortunately, was diagnosed with Lewy body dementia. And I would reached out to her because, like, what can I do? Like, what activities can I do with my dad? And I met her in the gallery, and she gave me all kinds of really great tips and ideas. And then she sort of blurts out, I paint.
And real shy,
she's,
right?
She's like, I've got some paintings in my car. Is it okay if I pull them out? I'm like, yeah.
Absolutely.
And they were really nice.
They're beautiful.
This was about 4 years ago. And so I actually sold some of her work to a clinic in Park Falls, which is really nice. And she came back about 6 months ago and said, hey, I've been studying more and I'm retiring and now this is what I'm doing. And so she showed me this one. I'm like, oh.
It's beautiful.
It's Blockhouse Lake, which is just outside of Park Falls, so not very far from here. Again, very local. Actually, what she did was very human and very vulnerable. She brought in all her work. She said, I would like you to critique this for me.
Oh,
which is
wow,
like
yeah.
scary for me because even though I was an art teacher, it was children. They're much more flexible. Like yeah. kids, especially teenagers, like, yeah, I don't care what you say.
Also, adults aren't going to take, you did a great job as a real compliment
no,
or like
not.
Criticism.
They're not. They're the higher bar. So she brought in all her work, and I said, well, this works for me. And here's why, and this doesn't work for me, and here's why. And if I were guiding you, I suggest this direction, not this direction. But I picked these pieces out and said,
it's really beautiful.
This is gorgeous.
But yeah, so it's nice. Again, we're talking about opening up your brain to who's an artist and opening up your brain to what art is. Mm-hmm. I love it when people like switch gears and decide to devote themselves to art, and because everybody,
yeah,
it's a learnable, teachable skill.
Well, and it has very many healing properties,
yes,
as well.
Yes.
Because I have talked to different veterans groups over the years, and art is one way
oh, yes.
that is very helpful for people who are dealing with depression or
yes.
PTSD or all
yes.
kinds of things
yes. Yes.
as an outlet, as an expression. Maybe you can't say the words,
right.
but you can put it on a canvas.
And I think an important aspect too of the story of this painting, with regard to the person, what was her name again?
Terry Morgan,
is that it's never too late.
Right.
Don't ever think that you can't do something because, well, I'm not even talking about people who are in their 40s, 50s, 60s, and 70s. I'm talking about people who are in their 20s and
yes.
30s because they thought, well, I didn't do it as a kid. I can't do it now. It's never too late.
Oh, yeah.
Find a way to express yourself. Find a way to just put it out there because, as you said, there are healing properties and it's important.
Oh, I agree.
We are here at the Fanatical Fish Gallery and Studio in downtown Butternut, Wisconsin. We'd love to see you stop on by. We're going to be broadcasting until 11 o'clock, talking to Kelly Meredith, the owner of the Fanatical Fish Gallery and Studio. The other thing I think that's so important, Kelly, is you said things can be taught. You can,
oh, yeah.
you can teach people how to do shading. You
yes.
can, like
yes.
in that
yes.
one,
yes.
the how to get movement.
Right. Right,
by
exactly.
But that's all in the shading and the coloring and all those
right,
things.
Right, right.
You can, even I could learn those things.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. Learnable teacher.
I grew up watching Bob Ross. And
yes.
granted, I'm not going to be able to pick up the paints and do it like he does it. But it's about the practice and keeping it very simple. And
right.
both, I think, your subject matter, because like it was all outdoor landscapes.
Right.
And just keeping that, you know, he had a method of doing
yes.
it, a way of practicing it, and that's how you did it. And one of the things I love is growing up, I always loved that show. And he was always seen as, well, it's Bob Ross. It's not
yeah.
it's not real art.
It's not
yeah.
real.
Right.
And
yeah.
now it's being recognized as actual of real value because it's he told you could do it.
Right.
And that's important.
I don't personally like his work.
Yeah.
My kids would always say, can we paint like Bob Ross? I'm like, no. But don't get me wrong. Let me back up. So
yeah, yeah.
all you Bob Ross lovers, don't start hating on me. I love the fact that he was so joyful.
Yes.
And that to me is that gets me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sold. If
yes.
you are doing it out of joy and pure love of the thing, and actually for a lot of people, it's good to pick a role model. Pick
yeah.
somebody whose work you like. Try and emulate that. You are going to naturally grow away from that eventually. So you start with somebody you really enjoy, like maybe Bob Ross. You get that down, and then you realize, hey, I should also try X, Y, Z.
Exactly.
And it's part of your growth process. It's
yes.
part of a journey. So yeah.
Absolutely. It's fantastic. And you have classes.
Every Saturday.
All painting, or do you
no,
do pottery
it's quite,
and everything?
And I don't teach them. I invite other artists to come in. That's why I said Lisa Krieger and Francis Whitfield on the art tour, if you guys want to go see them. I reach out to this cadre of artists every January and say, hey, you know, what would you like to make, propose your class, and then they set the price, and then, you know, send me photos and descriptions, and then they show up for a Saturday and teach. So it's kind of fun.
Check it out.
We're going to include links to the gallery and all the things that we're talking about on the show. You can always find our show notes at civicmedia.us. Go to civicmedia.us, go to shows, click on Matt Nair on Air, and then we will have at least 100 prior episodes that are archived. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then if you click on the individual episodes, Greg has all the links in there for everything that we are talking about. Come on by and see us. We're at the Fanatical Fish Gallery and Studio. By the way, if my husband is listening, I have to buy stained glass.
Yes, you do.
I
she
have
does.
To.
She must. She
Kelly,
must. She
Kelly
must.
Said I can't she, leave I,
exactly.
well, until I buy something. So that's the only reason I'm buying anything.
She's a hostage.
Just
she's a
so
hostage.
You know. Yeah. Stay with us. A little weather and wine on the other side with Brittany Merlot. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is cheering up.
AFL-CIO.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair and Greg Bach along with Todd Alba coming to you live from the Fanatical Fish Gallery Art Studio here in downtown Butternut, Wisconsin. Day tour of our Wisconsin. It's amazing tour. And yes, we are broadcasting live until 11 o'clock this morning. Thank you so much to Kelly Meredith, who's the owner of the gallery, for giving us the space to set up here and sharing some of her artwork with us and all of the different artists that are all across the Great North Woods. It's just been so, it's so educational and it's so wonderful to find out all of the things we have in common.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right?
Yes.
That's the whole point.
Yes.
That's why we like to do these. That's why we like to get around the state. And we wouldn't be able to do these things without the help of the woman who is sitting by my side. Darla Isham is here. Thank you so very much for helping us get this going. You are the station manager in Park Falls.
I am. Yes, I am. I've been in radio for 30 years. And
you started when you were five.
I start,
like me.
Yeah, okay,
yes.
Thank you.
Pretty much.
Actually, I was born the same year the radio station was born.
In Park Falls?
In Park Falls.
Really?
Yes. Do you want to know what year?
That's entirely up to you.
2001. See, I can do that too.
Yeah, I turned 39 five times over, you know.
That's a good day. It's a good year. My father stopped at 39, actually. So were you born in Park Falls?
I was born in Park Falls, and in 1953, the radio station was erected in Park Falls.
Nice.
So I'm part of the history.
Yeah, you are.
Of the station. But thank you so much for choosing Northern Wisconsin to come and do a tour, because I think it's so important to, you know, with small communities that are not tourist driven,
right? Mm-hmm.
You know, right. And you go up the highway, any highway in Northern Wisconsin, you're going to find little communities just like this one, and there's so much history, and there's businesses just like Kelly's.
Yeah.
And this is just amazing.
It is.
So thank you.
Oh, we are delighted to be here. I just love traveling around the state and learning all the things. I've lived here almost all of my life, and I never knew there was a Butternut until I started working for Civic Media. Greg, you and I have talked about this a lot.
Absolutely.
All of the things that we have learned about our own state since we have started doing this show.
Yeah, I mean, and we do these tours are great, and it would be easy, and this is no disrespect to the bigger cities. We could go to Green Bay, we could go to Milwaukee, Madison, but there's something to be said about going, especially northern Wisconsin, where it's just absolutely gorgeous, and the people are wonderful. And as you said, Darla, it's about bringing attention to those smaller communities and what they have to offer, because they're not just places you drive through. They're places that have an art gallery or, you know, a wonderful restaurant to go to, and it's as educational for us as it will be for other people, and it's wonderful. So thank you for making this happen.
Well, you're very welcome. Again, we are excited to have you here. I mean, this is going to be so much fun. It's been fun already.
It has been great.
And I've been listening, and it's sounding really great.
Well, we've been having a ball. People have been so lovely. They really have.
Oh,
everybody's
just
been lovely. Share with us a little bit of the history about Park Falls and Butternut, because in some of the emails that we had going back and forth, you had made some references to just the important historical things that have happened in this area.
Right. Well, when Maxine comes on Todd's show this afternoon, she's going to be the history buff. I mean, she will get into the meat and the nitty gritty of Butternut and all the historical things. But yeah, it's the great history for our small community. Again, you know, we have the paper mill that was a paper mill.
Sure.
It's no longer a paper mill that started Park Falls. I mean, that's what
that was why they, that
so
was
lumber.
It.
And, you know, the Flambeau River is man-made. They made the Flambeau River, the flowage, so they could
move lumber
logs
yeah.
down the Flambeau River, you know, to get to the mills. And, you know, along with the railroad coming through with it, which is no longer coming through, but right across the street, you know, where you have the feed store, the railroad came through.
Yeah.
You know,
well, it's interesting to see how these communities have had to kind of reinvent themselves as some of these industries have gone away.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, when you think of Butternut, some of the industries is veneer, oil, coal, mm-hmm. Cigars, tobacco, you know, yes.
Do we grow tobacco?
Well, there was a tobacco manufacturer or a cigar manufacturer here in Butternut. That's one of the industries that that Maxine might talk about in when she's talking about the history, you know, and the veneer mill. You know, they made the it's World War. I think it was World War
One,
where the bomber, one yeah. of the bombers, has veneer
from
Butternut, Wisconsin made. So it was sent over to Europe, and that's how they manufactured
Jeez.
Some of the...
That's amazing.
So just interesting little tidbits and little pieces of Butternut. I mean, Park Falls, I can talk a little bit about, you know, the business part of it, like the radio station. And it's important, and you've said this before, all of you have said it, it's about the people.
Yep.
Yes. Yes.
It's
yes.
about the people in the community supporting each other. Like I heard Kelly talking about, you know, when somebody has something bad happen in the community, nobody asks.
Who did you vote for?
Right. Yeah. They're not asking that.
Yeah.
They're just helping. They'll come. They help you. And, you know, they'll bring, if you're sick, you know.
Chicken soup.
You know, they're coming, knocking on your door. Well, the reason communities like Park Falls, Mellon, Phillips, Fifield, all these little communities around us are sustained by the people in the community and the businesses who everybody supports each other, you know. And I think, you know, what's really important to me, I think that's why I've stayed in this industry so
sure.
long.
Yeah. Sure.
Because we're here to help the industry and to help the businesses. And it's not about making the big buck.
Right.
It's about how can we help these businesses stay in business.
And inform the community and bring the community together. And I think, Darla, what you said is so important. Little, small hometown radio stations are the heartbeat of a lot of small communities. And that's kind of the mission of Civic Media, is to kind of keep those smaller stations, hometown stations, on-the-ground stations, to keep them vibrant and involved.
And that's, I think, why the radio station has been around since 1953. I mean, it's sustained. It's, you know, we really care about the community. We care about communities like Butternut all over the state, you know. However, we can help them.
Yep.
It's really, it's not like about, you know, our sales team are outstanding. It's mm-hmm. not about, like, taking, you know, a rate card to somebody and saying, here, we want you to buy ads. We don't even operate that way. Our mission is to sit down with the business people and find out what's important to them.
What is your message?
What is your message? What is important to you? Because we're here to help you, too. And I think, you know, taking that route and feeling that way about your community and loving your community is going to keep people in business longer.
Yeah. And as you said, if the people were really looking to make big bucks in this, they wouldn't be here. They'd
yeah.
be doing it someplace else.
Yeah.
If you're just joining us, Darla Isham is our guest. She's the station manager at WCQM, our civic media property in Park Falls. We are broadcasting live from the Fanatical Fish Gallery here in downtown Butternut, Wisconsin. Day two of our tour with Todd Alba's show. Todd going to be taking over at 2 o'clock today. I found this just completely shocking, and this is the second trip I've taken, and I've worked with Greg Bach now for quite a while. He's never heard an Ole and Lena joke.
I don't even
know what to do with that.
I was thinking about that on my drive up here, but I don't even have a good.
You don't have an Ole.
I don't even.
Folks,
it's
just going to let you know this is not making the best of podcast for the weekend because this just feels like, what do they call it, an attack.
if you have an Ole and Lena joke that's FCC compliant,
there it is.
Yeah,
that's...
give us a call at 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. And I think Greg needs to have just a little taste of Ole and Lena jokes. They've been around forever.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, my grandparents used to tell them all the time. So we're traveling around the state this week in a Mercedes bus.
It's
a Mercedes chassis. All right, don't get too excited here.
It still has a Mercedes logo on it, right, so we're right. Fancy
which
and luxurious.
Which I'm taking with me, by the way.
Yeah.
But it happens to be a diesel bus. And it reminds me of a joke that my Grandpa Wallace told me growing up. You know, Ole and Lena came over, and they came over with their friend Lars from the old country. And so when Ole and Lars first got there, they're looking for jobs as new immigrants. And so they saw a sign in this car truck repair place is looking for a diesel fitter. And they said, well, we'll go in here and apply. And so Ole and Lars went in, and the guy says, you guys got any experience? You just got here. And Ole says, oh, yeah. He says, we over in the old country. He says, I was a tailor. But Lars here, he was a diesel fitter. Well, he says, I could use a diesel fitter, and my engine's back here. He says, well, I'm not sure about a tailor, but he says, I suppose you're used to patterns or whatever. You could probably learn. So he says, I got a truck back here. A guy's got to have this by 5 o'clock. It's 3 in the afternoon. Do you think you get it done? I got to go run errands. I'll be back about 5. Will you have it done? Oh, yeah, Lars says, we could have it done. Ole and I, we get it done. So the guy leaves, comes back right before close. Grease everywhere and stuff everywhere. He says, what in the heck? He says, my client, you know, he's going to be furious. He goes, you guys don't know what the heck you're doing at all. He says, you lied to me. He says, you told me you were diesel fitters. No, he says. He says, I told you I was a tailor. I was a tailor in the old country. He says, I make the pattern. I sew the dresses for the women. And then after I get it all sewn, I give it over to Lars. And Lars, he hold it up and he says, yeah, diesel fitter.
Is there, wait, nope, not at all. Nope, I tried to hit a cool hot button. It didn't work at all. Oh, my God.
So if you're looking for a diesel fitter, Lars can help you out.
If you can top that Ole and Lena joke, we would love from you.
Wow, that was a...
At 855-752-4842. PG on the live stream says knee slapper. That was a knee slapper. You gotta love that.
Yeah.
That is hilarious.
All right. Well, I've heard my first Ole and Lena joke.
There will be more to come.
Oh, grand.
I have a feeling that there will be more to come. We are going to be staying, speaking of Lena, we're going to be staying at Lena's resort tonight.
Yes, you are.
What a segue.
She is. That's a segue. Yeah. She is one of our title sponsors.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, we're talking about businesses and how
yeah.
we all work together and make things happen.
Yes.
And your accommodations for the next two
so
nights
excited.
Are going to be facing the lake.
Lake Butternut.
Butternut Lake. And did you know what was the date? In the 1800s, when Butternut was just being established and the early settlers were coming, they actually had the government surveyors from Medford, Wisconsin, come and they slept on the shores of Butternut Lake. And, of course, then they decided they had to start zoning.
Oh. Look at what you'll learn.
Exactly.
Look at what you'll learn. All right, stay with us when we return. This shouldn't be a thing. That's Nuts Edition. This is Matt Nair on air on the Civic Media Radio Network.